smoke rolling out the window, and ice cold beer sitting in the console.
Hey, this is All Over the Road at Pirate and Chewbacca. This is show number 19, recorded on January 29th, 2024. How you doing, buddy?
Good evening, America.
There you go, sounding professional again, man.
This is Pirate here, and I'm ready to broadcast.
Yeah, we're ready to broadcast on the podcast. So what did you think of the playoff games this weekend with the foosball? Bobby Boucher foosball.
Man, that game had us on the edge of the sofa, buddy.
Yeah, but you thought the game was called in the first half, man. And, it was like this back and forth. Do you think they're going to win, not going to win? And 49ers pulled it off, dude, because I didn't watch the Ravens and Chiefs game because I think everyone's getting kind of tired of the Chiefs. Don't get me wrong. I like Patrick Mahomes and everything. But golly, how many Super Bowls have they won in the last few years? A handful.
Well, I mean, Brady did a lot of those Super Bowl wins as well, so yeah, I'm sure couple of them
back to back and all that stuff. But so the Super Bowl is now decided, man. We're going to have the 49ers versus the Chiefs, and they will be playing at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, Nevada. So Vegas is hosting their first ever Super Bowl, and you got two high power offense teams going head to head for the Super Bowl, man. I think it's going to be a good show, good game. What do you think?
Yeah, I was happy of the outcome eventually. I mean, look, the 49ers were the best playing team that night, and as well as the Chiefs. I mean, I watched that game as well, and they were the best team. So I think these two teams playing, it's going to be a real Super Bowl. It's not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely.
It's not going to be a blowout. They're going to be neck and neck.
No,
this
no.
This is going to be.
This will be. I think it's going to be a damn good game because Brock Purdy on the 49ers, man, that guy is up and coming, dude.
Yeah, he's good.
I know Patrick Mahomes is shit hot right now, and he has been for several years, but I think Brock Purdy can take this guy out, even though they never technically ever meet on the field, you know, during play time because they're both quarterbacks. I think this is going to be a great Super Bowl. I really don't have a prediction. I'm rooting for the Niners, but the Chiefs could win this just as easily. I wouldn't say easily, but just as challenging to actually earn their spot as probably one of the premier football programs in the history of the NFL.
And don't forget, we'll see Taylor Kelce there.
we get to see Taylor's boyfriend again and again. And, you know, I'm a Taylor Swift fan, but I also recognize it's getting annoying. They keep blasting her face every 5 seconds at a Chiefs game. So I saw a meme posted earlier. It says, Groundhog's Day came early. We still have two more weeks of Taylor Swift. Yeah, because the Super Bowl's in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So who do you think? I mean, who do you think between the 49ers and Chiefs?
Well, let's say the 49ers do it this time.
Yeah. Well, they haven't won a Super Bowl in 29 years. So.
I saw how that Purdy boy played.
That Purdy boy.
And he played pretty damn good.
How about when your wife called him Mr. Purdy?
She called him Mr. Purdy. And that was very respectful of her to call her that.
He's 24 years old. It's half of his age.
Well, she's her age. You know, she's got a lot of Southern charm, my wife. It's
just funny. When we were watching that game last night, she brought up Mr. Purdy. And we and I are like, what? Mr. Purdy?
I think it's going to be a tight scoring game. I mean, it's going to be like yesterday's game.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Lions did really good the first half.
They did, man. They did. I think it's going to be something in the score is going to be like, you know, in the 20s, you know, 28.
It's going to be low, huh?
Yeah. 28 to like 24, something like that. Oddball score like that. It's going to be very close.
Nice.
What do you think?
I agree with you on that one. I would say in the 20s. I can't see them blowing each other out. The thing is, I don't know much about their defenses because I don't pay attention to neither team just as much. I know I'm a 49er fan. Hey, how can you not know that? Well, we don't always get to watch the 49er games over here anymore. When I was a kid in the 80s, I got to watch them all the time because they're always on TV. Now we get the local teams and all that stuff, and I don't have any NFL packages or anything, so I watch what's available on like what you call regular man TV.
Yeah. Here in FLA, our regular man TV, if they're not playing the Bucks, we're either looking at
the Dolphins game,
Dolphin, Green Bay.
Yeah.
The Jags. We're looking at maybe the Panthers, you know, all the Southern teams. We see a lot of the Houston games, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is mainly Southern teams.
Yeah. So it's going to be fun. And I tell you, for the first time, Pirate, this year, I'm actually going to watch a Pro Bowl. And traditionally, that is always known as the boring game to watch. Well, they totally changed it now, man. They do a skills competition, which is neat, kind of like hockey. So you get to see the athleticism and the agility of them. And they no longer play tackle football. They play flag football. So they get to goof around more because too many times guys ruin their career playing in the Pro Bowl. So it's like, and they know to take it easy on each other, even when they were tackling. But there are some guys who still play intense. They're like, just because this game doesn't count doesn't mean I don't put 100% into it, you know?
So when and where is the Pro Bowl?
They'll announce it. I haven't looked it up. Usually they've never keep it consistent. Sometimes it's before the Super Bowl. Sometimes it's after the Super Bowl. So I haven't looked it up exactly yet. I just know we're in range now where I need to look it up so I don't miss it.
I always thought it was after.
It used to be, but sometimes they started putting in between. Because traditionally, you have 2 weeks into the Super Bowl. Every now and then, the schedule doesn't work out that way, and they only get a week off. Like the Bucks back in 03, they only got a week off between the Eagles game, the NFC Championship game, and Super Bowl. So it was kind of unusual. So it was immediately that Sunday, they took off for San Diego because Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday was media day. And, you know, they do walk arounds the stadium, get used to where they're going to play, look for little things in the stadium to, you know, to acknowledge stuff when they do play calls and everything like that. So, yeah, they didn't get much. But, you know, it worked out both ways because the Raiders had the same lead up as well. They only got a week off until, you know, we played the Raiders in the Super Bowl for the first time, for the first win, I should say, too. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a good Super Bowl, man. I look forward to hanging at your place and watching it. I'm sure that's what we'll be doing.
I hope that you can eat some of the food when we're there.
Yeah, if it's got vegetables and meat, yeah.
Oh, we're going to have meat and vegetables.
Yeah, there you go. That. We're good. Yeah, no, I'm still.
What about the yellow water? Will you be able to have any yellow water?
No, nope, still not doing that, man.
Damn it.
We have about 2 more weeks until I can have a cheat meal, and that is still undecided. It's to be determined what I'm going to do for a cheat meal. I'm not sure if I want to do it yet. Union meeting. I don't know if I want to do it at Pizza Rock. I don't know if I want to do it hanging with you, or even if I make something here at the house. I do not know yet, because the whole world now is my playground, and I'm only going to pick one style of food. But when I do, I'm going to be pigging out.
We might even want to do this on the air, Bubba.
Pig out. No, because I want to focus on my food and enjoy it. I don't want to be talking and yapping. I want I'm going to be like,
Well, we need to pick a special place for this, man.
This is good.
We need to pick a real good
place. I want to get a whole box of Dunkin' Donuts.
I just want to be there when we crack open a yellow.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But even last night at your house, man, you had that box of Munchkins there, man. And I took a good old whiff, and that's where I left it. It smelled so good.
You did a scratch and sniff.
Yep, I did. That was as close as I got to having a Munchkin last night. I dig the Munchkin. So we'll see. But anyways,
don't forget, they're going to have the halftime show.
Yeah, I don't even know who's playing, do you?
I think they're going to be having Usher.
Oh, Usher. Where's he been for all these years?
I think he's been an usher, maybe at a church or something. I'm not sure what the hell.
Oh, my God. Cheesy. Yeah,
I don't know what he's been doing.
Yeah. there's your dad round of applause, or dad joke round of applause.
Who the hell? I'm sure he's doing something.
New Hampshire primary happened this week, Pirate, and Trump blew it out of the park. I'm not going to bore the audience with statistics, but they said a record turnout vote for a Republican in New Hampshire. The Democrat had a write-in thing due to last-minute rule changes they couldn't agree on. So if you were voting for Biden, you had to write in his name, which I think is kind of weird, seeing that he's the president. I thought he would automatically be on the ballot, and you're still declaring that you like Biden. But here's the thing. A lot of Democrats voted for Haley. They say 70% of the votes for Haley were not in from the GOP because they had their open primary. A bunch of Democrats voted for Haley to try to stop Trump. That's kind of an interesting take.
Yeah, that's bizarre that they had something going on like that in that state. Of course, that's the first state. They like to be the first state in the primaries. And
second.
Second. Well, Iowa.
Iowa is a caucus, but this is the first primary.
First primary. Right, yeah,
there you go.
Second gimmick going on.
Well, here's the thing about voting. You can still vote for whoever you want. I just find it interesting that the Democrats got together and says, hey, let's vote for Haley to try to ruin it for Trump. And yet he still had a landslide victory against Haley. And the party's pushing her to concede. But she refuses to. So we've got about another month until the Super Tuesday where a bunch of states, have their primaries. But she's up on South Carolina's next, I believe. And that's her state. She was the governor there. And so far, Tim Scott, who is a senator from South Carolina, he didn't endorse Haley. He endorsed Trump. So we got a little fraction going on or fractured and going on in the parties.
Yeah. Trump has Tim Scott on his team. He's got Vivek Ramaswamy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been some new talks that possibly Kennedy is on there. Robert Kennedy is on maybe possibly going to join his team.
Oh, okay. Because there was other rumors going around that Trump was going to ask him to be VP, but they both already shot that down. They're just like, nope, not true.
Well, I mean, there's been a lot of rumors. I'm sure a lot of these rumors are kept on. They're putting a lid on them, so they're not out. I mean, for all we know, this Haley thing could be a smoke screen, a disturbance to keep your mind off of Trump.
Not happening.
I think that
he's got too much momentum going now.
Well, what I think it is maybe the Democrats got her in their
there are talks that she is paid off by George Soros. She's already been compared to being a Hillary Clinton with an R behind her name.
I think so.
I don't trust her. I think she is your sleazy, classy politician where they tell you everything you want to hear. But behind the scenes are going to be a completely different person. But
she really never. I watched a lot of her debates and a lot of her discussions that she had at some of these primaries. She really had nothing good to say except for just stuff to like bring the crowd up, to applause. Like we're going to do good. We're going to do this. We're going to do better than Trump.
She had zingers.
She just had zingers. It wasn't stuff.
Nothing with any substance.
No, it wasn't like what Trump would say. We're going to shut the border down. We're going to open up the oil, and
the senseless wars.
Yeah, we're going to get out of wars.
We're going to bring the economy back.
Yeah. I mean, he says that he's going to do something, and I think he's going to do it. Versus, she's just trying to bring these zingers up. That, I mean, it's okay to hear some zingers, but damn it, we need the country to turn around now.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, man, the day after the primary, I watched a couple of my YouTube news channels. I watched some Fox News. I also turned on Morning Joe because I wanted to hear their take on the New Hampshire primaries. And within 30 seconds, Pirate, I was already laughing watching this so-called journalism that millions of people, unfortunately, still watch this scum program of TV. Right away, some of the highlights I got watching this, because I wrote it down, I couldn't help it because I wanted to make this a podcast topic here, but they're still calling Trump a racist. This is Joe and Mika on Morning Joe. They're still bringing up the lie of Charlottesville. That's why they call him a Trump racist, where they claim that Trump said that he said white supremacists are very fine people. Our president still repeats that. But if you played the whole sound clip, the whole thing was, there are very fine people on both sides who were peacefully protesting. Instead, they twisted that into he supports Nazis. So still telling the lie. So they can't even be honest from one of their first things they want to bash Trump about. They say he's losing his thought and brain activity, meaning Trump, not Joe. Not once did they bring up Joe. They actually, when they did bring up Joe, they said he's acting very presidential and we're very confident in the way he's been speaking and everything. And I'm like, boy, not the news clips I've seen, but nice spin there. They're 100% confident that Biden will beat Trump. And I guess I'd be 100% confident too, the way they cheated last time. And I will stand that to my ground today. I know if somebody's listening, oh, you're full of crap, that's conspiracy theory. No, because I see the result of voting for the so-called the guy who's supposed to be president, Joe Biden. There's no freaking way. They were propping up Haley, which is a good play for the Democrats right there, since they already voted for him.
I'm telling you, man, I think my theory's right.
They're saying Trump's age is an issue versus 81-year-old Joe Biden, who can't even say a speech without, I mean, that's what he sounded like the other day. I'm like, holy crap, man, that's amazing.
Trump is still coherent, man.
Yeah, and then they said that he will be a dictator if he becomes president. Like, he's going to kill his political enemies. Remember, we talked in that last week's show about
the SEAL Team 6
to kill his political opponent. And, you know, I actually made it to about 15 minutes of this garbage until I turned it off, because it was like, you're not telling me news. You're giving me opinion. You're giving me sensationalized stories that would never happen, or these scenarios that may never happen. And it just scares me that I know people who watch this dribble all day long, and then they try to argue with me with their talking points that they learned from TV.
You mean they're gullible enough to believe this stuff? And
oh yeah, it's 100% accurate.
And then spread it out on Facebook and Instagram. Yeah, well, and all
look at it the other way around. They think the information that we have, we're the ones being gullible. But I can pride myself that I don't use 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 news sources. I use several and start deducing if a story is BS or not. So,
well, that's what they do best.
Yeah, that's what they do best. Since we're talking about politics here in a way, what you got on the Biden border situation? We know that's a pretty volatile thing going on right now.
Yeah, recently they went to the Supreme or the DOJ, and they were trying to tell the state of Texas that they couldn't, you know,
you can't protect your border.
Yeah. And recently DOJ said, yes, you are wrong. And you know, so now
they're telling the state of Texas they're wrong for doing
you
this.
You are wrong. No, they're telling Biden he's wrong.
The DOJ is telling Biden he's wrong.
So Biden, he's
get out of here.
Yes,
really? That's an interesting take,
and
I haven't heard about this.
Yeah, and you know, so, and then of course there's been claims that recently Biden is starting to, like, I don't know the word he's that to use this, but he's claiming that, oh, I'm going to shut down the border if Congress approves the new bill.
Oh,
so, you know, so he's trying to push this bill, and I don't know what kind of pork is in this bill.
Of course, there's pork in it.
Yeah, and you know,
that's let me jump in for a second. That's the big fight happening right now, because they're not enforcing the existing border laws, but the president says he needs a new package. Well, why does he need a new package? So all those senators and congressmen can put pork projects in there and get the kickbacks they want as well. It's so dirty. Everybody knows that the border is a problem. Even the Democrats who deny it, they know it's a problem, because now these immigrants have been dumped in the cities of Chicago and New York and LA. And to hear the local officials complaining about it, it's like, you are the same people that denied there was a border problem. And then when you acknowledge there was, you say, just let them in anyways. But as soon as they're dropped off in your backyard, you have a problem with it. So the president's got a big problem on his hands right now, Pirate, because he did admit this week that the border is a problem, okay? This is after 3 years of his press secretaries denying there was any kind of border problem, especially the latest with this Jean Paul Pierre. She's going to get shaken down by the White House press corps, and there's even talks of asking her to resign, because no more than a month ago, Pirate, she told the press that the border is secure. So it went from secure to unsecure within a month? No, because we have all the receipts. We've been seeing what's been happening for the last several years. You know, the wall was shut down by Joe Biden on the first day. He defunded the police, played a lot with it. The Border Patrol is a mess right now. The only cool thing I see that's happening out of this with Texas is that the Border Patrol agents already said that they support what Texas is doing, and they will not go in there and cut razor wire. So who's the federal government going to send in now?
Yeah, well, here's the big to-do with this border bill, is that Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, he's saying that, of course, they're trying to sneak in Ukraine aid.
Yeah, there's always a piggyback, isn't there?
That's what I was saying.
We're going to let's continue the corrupt war.
They want to get something around $80 billion in aid.
Oh, is that all? $80 billion? Sure. Yeah.
And then, of course, now on the border side of this bill, it's good. They want to get 1,300 new U.S. Border Patrol agents, 375 immigration judges, 1,600 asylum officers, and more than 100 inspection machines to help with the prevention of smuggling fentanyl into the U.S., which is a big problem right now, as well as weapons and, you know, smuggling of people as well. So, I mean, it'd be great to just have a border bill and not this Ukraine thing.
Well, that's the politics of it. If you don't give me what I want, I'm not going to give you what you want. And that's what's frustrating, because they can't just pass a bill on border, right? Well, there's always got to be some kind of tag or some kind of catch.
Well, and I've learned too, when they label this garbage a bipartisan bill, that means it's got something for them, something for us, you know?
Of course, of course.
And that's the problem. You can't always get what you want, man.
Nope.
And we need to do the right thing in this country.
Well, that's the challenge. It's just to get people to do the right thing. I mean, even when people have got egos these days, everybody does, right? Sure. And there is just certain people, even when they know they are wrong, they will still defend they're wrong because they don't like to be told they're wrong. They don't like to be, basically people don't want to hear the truth, or they find it inconvenient if you tell them something that they don't want to hear. So they don't even want to talk to you about it, you know? So they just continue and perpetuate the lie, even though they know they're wrong, they still stick with it. And then they'll still stick with the wrong side because that's their party. Right. And I don't care if it's Republican or Democrat, both sides do that. It's just freaking, it's out of control, man. People are so complicated when it comes to this. And to your point of saying, just do the right thing, that's what we keep arguing about. We're arguing about what is the right thing. We have our ideas, they have their ideas, and it's all a mess. And they don't ever seem to come to any good compromise on anything. Like I said earlier, why are they passing a border bill? They've already got existing laws. They already have funding for it. Why don't you put the wall back up again, Joe Biden, or at least get that going again? Didn't they make money off of selling parts from the Trump border wall?
I remember.
Where's that money at?
Back in September, we reported about the auction of all the materials, and they were dismantling the wall. And, of course, Texas brought out the shipping containers.
With razor wire on it.
And put razor wire. And, of course, there was a big to-do. They told them to take the razor wire down, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Because people were getting caught up in it. Well, that's what it's there for.
That's what it's there for, to deter, you know. And the thing sometimes that just chaps my ass about this subject here is, you know, when you brought up the wall in the past, that was somebody on the left deemed that racist. Okay, so and then their argument was walls don't work. Okay, there's a nice big barrier around the White House. Take it down.
Yeah,
walls don't work.
See what happens.
Right. A lot of properties have fences with cameras and sensor detection. Businesses do. Take all that down if they don't work. A jail technically has a wall and a fence built around it. Several fences and a wall.
Oh, don't forget the bars that some of the criminals sit behind.
Well, take it all down because you don't need all that. They're behind the bars.
Just put them in the building. Tell them to sit in there.
Just stay in the building.
Stay in the building, guys. We don't need you to come out.
Well, you're locked in. So, you know, you're not getting out anyways, but it blows my mind the spin that people take, and again, repeating the talking point: walls don't work. It's like then why lock your door then?
Well, here's
why,
something.
Why up, lock your car?
Here's something up your alley. I know we like to talk about Ching sometimes. What about the China Wall?
The Great Wall. Well, the Great Wall was very effective for a while, but like anything, there's holes in the defense, and the Mongols exploited it, and they did a couple small invasions, but for the most part, the majority of the Great Wall of China, though I don't know how many hundreds of years old it is, it's in the hundreds of years. I don't think it's in the thousands, maybe a little over 1,000, is still there, still intact. Big tourist destination thing now, but you know, it's still there.
The thing is, it was built and completed.
It was built and completed.
And why can't we build and complete?
Well, you got to wonder, did they have these kind of Qing arguments back in the day? And you know, and the emperor of the Xi or whoever the fuck was in charge at the time? I don't know, man. I think people have always argued. It's just we got more access to information these days. So it's perceived as, oh, it's just, you know, nothing ever gets accomplished. Things get accomplished. It's just with politics.
Well,
man.
I'm sure.
It's this piggybacking, like you said, and compromising. And the thing I had a friend told me one time, he said, when it comes to your principles, you never compromise your principles or you don't have any. Right. So that's why, you know, DC is just seen as a swamp. And, you know, Congress's ratings, I think, are actually still lower than the president because they're the sleaze bags because they're the ones that come up with the money. They're the ones who come up with the bills before the president signs them into law. So it's like the old good old boy club up there. Everyone's scratching each other's back.
I just see if a bill like this gets approved, the fact that before the election, they're going to get that money. They're going to use it for their Ukraine war or whatever they're going to do with that money, squander that money. And, oh, we ran out. The border ran out doesn't. Again. Border doesn't get its stuff.
Well, there was another headline today. There was an independent audit done that a lot of the money that's been sent to Ukraine, it has already been siphoned back into some American businessmen's hands through their company or through a congressman or anything. So what's the stupidity of sending money over there to have it come back? And why? It's all laundered. So it makes it harder to trace it back to the source. So it's like you got businessmen and congressmen, possibly, it's just a possibility, stealing money from the American taxpayers to stuff their own pockets. I thought the whole idea for helping out Ukraine was to fight off the Russians, you know, through proxy. And they can't even seem to do that properly. There's like no honor with these people. And they must not believe in karma or something. They must think this is the only life they have because I'm a God-fearing, you know, Christian guy. I'm not an uber Christian, but I do believe in heaven and hell and consequences and all that stuff. I feel sorry for them if my beliefs are true because they think they're getting away with it. And maybe here, but there's one final judge to stand before and who knows what's going to happen to them. I'm trying not to judge myself, but you know.
Well, the big to-do is regardless if these people try to push this thing through, let's just hope they shoot it down like Mike Johnson says.
Yeah. Well, I don't see him bending to Ukraine package because the border has nothing to do with Ukraine. We can decide on that separately.
Yeah, it should be a separate discussion.
It should be a separate bill and what the funding is for, where it's going to go, how there's going to be accountability for it, all that stuff. That's even if they factored that in. So,
I mean, I really don't even think we should be doing a proxy war with.
No, I don't think so either. You know,
we have enough fish to fry over here.
It's this knee jerk. This country reacted with Russia is bad. Ukraine are the victims here. And this there's more to this than what the news has been telling you. If you start looking up reports or documents or even some videos, if you can find them these days. As early as 2010, 2011, I've heard about Ukrainians and the Russians shooting at each other at the border. And a lot of times, Ukrainians shelling their own cities because those cities turn pro-Russian. Like, they're fractured amongst their own country. There were cities or towns in Ukraine that were pro-Russian and wanted to go back and join the Mother Russia land, and the Ukrainians murdered civilians. So they're not innocent in all this either. And I'm not, and that doesn't mean I'm taking Russians' side either, but they have been shooting at each other for years. And finally, from Putin's standpoint, he said, I've had enough of this crap. Because look at it this way. If he really wanted to annex Ukraine, he would have done it by now. We're going, what, 2 years into this war? No, he is just trying to contain the pro-Russia areas of Ukraine and bring them back into Russia with a small annexation and leaving the rest of them alone because he should have taken Kyiv by now, but he hasn't. I don't think that's his goal. He is just wanting to get rid of as much as the problem from the Ukrainian army as he can and the Ukrainian government, which is corrupt as hell, which Biden supported himself as VP and Barack Hussein Obama. You know, they were all pro Ukraine in 2014, 10 years ago. I wonder why, because that's when all those rumors started about Hunter Biden doing business deals with the Ukrainians and everything. It's like, no wonder Joe is pro Ukraine. He needs this war to go on as well, because it's helping covering up his shady business deals.
Exactly. This is all going to come full circle here eventually.
But anyways, back to the border. Anything more to focus on that? Are we ready to move on?
No, let's wait and see what this speaker does, and let's see what Biden pushes and what everyone else pushes. Hopefully there's no executive order, here at the end. But I'm hoping that, it just doesn't go too far. Thank you, everybody. This day in history, January 29th, number one on the list. 2002, George W. Bush delivered the State of the Union, and he declared Iran, Iraq, North Korea, the Axis of Evil.
Axis of Evil. I remember that, dude. The press went into shock over that. They're like, shit, dude. They're like,
how dare you?
Oh, my God. George Bush is a dictator.
Exactly is what they said.
Yeah.
And the reason he declared them the Axis of Evil, if any of you weren't alive during that time, let me tell you. At that time, they were accused of developing nuclear, or as George W. say, nuclear.
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 Yeah.
Chemical and biological weapons.
Yeah. Never found that, did we?
Nah, we looked pretty good for them.
Went to a war over that, too.
We looked high and low. I just never, yep. never turned up.
Yep, never turned out. There, the conspiracy theory was, is Saddam shipped the stuff off to Syria, and they took it. Well, if Syria has chemical weapons, why haven't they used them yet? Because that whole Middle East right now is a goddamn mess. I mean,
somewhere under, you know what?
I mean, like, our troops just got killed at a OP in Jordan, and I'm like, not an OP, it was an outpost. Observation post is an OP, but outpost, which is basically a small base. They had like Apache helicopters and crap. And it's like, we got troops in Jordan. I shouldn't be surprised, but at the same time, to hear that we had troops killed in Jordan from a suicide drone, basically. Just nuts, dude.
Brother, we got troops everywhere right now.
Crazy. It's scary. Yep, anyways, what else in this day in history?
1936, Babe Ruth and Ty Cobb. Great baseball players, and I like the candy bar. They were the first baseball players to be elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York.
Oh, they were some of the first. Okay. Yeah,
they were the first in New York.
Never looked up the history of how that started and who was first. Neat.
Well, you know the Babe and Ty Cobb. They were badasses.
Never heard of them.
I'm sure, but I like the candy bar. 1924, the first machine for rolling ice cream cones, you know, the wafer cones.
Yeah.
It was patented by Carl Rutherford Taylor of Cleveland OH-10.
Yeah, well, who don't like ice cream?
Yeah, and where else to make it is anywhere cold as that place.
So. Yeah, man.
1919, the 18th Amendment. You know which one that is, right?
I think that was income tax.
To the U.S. Constitution was ratified. And it went into effect in 1920, and it was all about liquor and prohibition.
The big mistake. Oh, yeah. Wow.
14 years later, on December 5th, 1933.
14 years it took to rescind it.
The 21st Amendment was...
Wow.
...enacted in...
You know, as boneheaded as that was, I'll hand it to the federal government. They at least made it constitutional. They actually went through the proper process of saying, hey, we're going to ban alcohol nationwide. That is the actual proper method. Now, even though it's a proper method, it still doesn't mean it was a good idea. And look what happened. the mafia grew in power, and bootlegging was a big time thing. You said you had family members involved in that.
Absolutely. And speakeasies.
Yeah. I mean, basically organized crime grew during that period as a result of illegal hooch. And the hilarious thing about it is that Do you think lawmakers went without alcohol during that time?
Absolutely not.
Of course not. What a bullshit play.
They had their little decanter of scotch in their little office. They poured themselves a scotch or whiskey. Yeah,
somebody was still making hooch in their garage and their basement and all that kind of stuff. So, what a stupid mistake. Anyways, thank God we still have alcohol.
Let's move on here.
Yeah.
1886, German mechanical engineer Carl Benz.
I wonder who he is.
Well, he patented the first automobile that was powered by the internal combustion engine.
And this was 18 what?
1886.
Wow.
So he was the first one to jump everyone to the punch.
Yeah, everyone always assumes it's Henry Ford. No, Henry Ford was the first car manufacturer in America. You know?
Yeah. And 1819, the British East India Company, the administrator of that company, Sir Stamford Raffles, established the port of Singapore.
Ah.
Yeah.
Neat.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I hear it's a cool little country. Very clean.
Yeah, I mean, never been there, but I mean, that's what the British were doing back in those days, looking for spices. And
yeah.
That's how the tea trade. That's how the Indian IPA ale started.
IPAs, a lot of chai tea comes from the Indonesia area. Chai tea is pretty good. I like chai tea.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff was good back in those days. So the English were out on a little adventure to look for this stuff.
Yeah, they basically created a nation state that now is predominantly run by Asian people.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
And it was a trade. It was a port. Mm-hmm. You know, you can literally pass through it.
Yeah, it was a great port. Birthdays for this day, January 29th. It is 1970, Paul Ryan. You know who he is?
Mm-hmm.
Former politician and former Speaker of the House.
Yep.
Yeah, good guy. From Wisconsin.
Not a fan of him anymore.
Okay, that's good.
He became a progressive after once Trump became president. He became an outright critic, actually, of President Trump. For a guy who I thought was a conservative Republican, he became an anti-Trumper, so I became an anti-Ryan.
Well, he did some good things in his time, but I remember hearing about those things about Trump. So, I mean, he was good back in the day. 1954, Oprah Winfrey
was born.
Yep, American TV personality, actress, entrepreneur, very wealthy lady. She even tried to run for president one time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So she's 74?
Yes, sir.
Wow, she looks pretty good, man. I didn't think she was that old. I would have suspected she would have been in her mid to late 60s. I didn't think she was 74. Wow.
1954, Bubba.
Well, she's been doing good.
Yeah. 1843, our 25th president, William McKinley, from OH-10, by the way.
OH-10.
President of the United States from 1897 to 1901.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was assassinated in 1901, by the way.
Oh, wow.
He was a Republican, and he led the movement to realign the Republican Party during the industrialization time.
Mm.
Yeah. Good president. W.C. Fields, American actor, comedian, born in Philadelphia. Okay. I don't know if you've ever seen any W.C. Fields movies.
Heard the name, but couldn't tie it.
I remember when I was younger, you know, maybe my grandpa or somebody playing a W.C. Fields skit or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, that is it for this day in history, January 29th. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
From the Eurasian Times, a buddy of mine sent this to me. So I actually got a viewer mail idea article. So first time announcing that. But the headline is, thousands of Forrest Gumps to join the U.S. Navy as it struggles to attract recruits. Doors now open for high school dropouts. During the Vietnam War, the U.S. was recruiting low IQ men to meet the requirements for the Asian conflict. So nothing new. They've done this before. The recruits were called McNamara morons. It was initiated by the U.S. Department of Defense to recruit soldiers who had previously have been below military medical standards. The Hollywood movie Forrest Gump was based on this. Wow, I didn't know this. Conflicts are raging across the globe, and the need for the U.S. Navy has never been felt like before. The U.S. Navy failing to fill its vacancy has no choice but to lower its standards. For the second time in over a year, the U.S. Navy has opened its doors to lower performing individual who meet its recruiting goals. And I'm not going to get into the rest of that. This just sounds like a bad idea to me, especially when comparing this to the Vietnam War, which I didn't know they did that back then. You basically have people that are not capable. Not, you don't even have to be like combat per se, are just not capable of doing the job. And the whole idea of combat is everybody behind the scenes is doing something to support those people in the front, whether you're a pilot, the Marines, the ones actually pulling the triggers, right? This just sounds like desperation, and it scares me to think that's going to be the readiness of our U.S. Navy if they start doing this.
Well, why even announce this, first of all?
Because they need to attract more people. So you have to put recruiting stuff out. So I see what you say. They probably shouldn't have said anything and just taken a dumb shit when they come in off the street. It's like, okay, you're dumb enough to join the Navy. We'll take you in, you know?
Well, I mean, obviously they need to bring some more glitz and glamour to the job, or either that, maybe they need to realign the education system in our country. And, you know, explain to these young children and young kids growing up that, you know, there's several channels in life you're going to go.
There are, but they're trying to get the quick path here. They said, according to the Associated Press, the Navy will now be enlisting individuals who did not graduate from high school or get a GED. Like, see, when I went in pirate.
That shouldn't be an option.
When I went in, you had to have high school diploma or your GED. You had to have at least 12 to 15 credit hours of college. So a lot of people get a GED just to get out of high school and start working again. But the military would not take you, at least at the time I was in, for that. So they're going to take people even without GEDs.
I mean, remember, man, in the time when you had to sign up for the military, Army, Marines, wherever you're going, you had to take the ASFAB test.
Oh, everyone has to take that. Yeah, how well are they going to do on that? Because that determines your job.
I mean, that test was hard. I took it. You took it.
Well, yeah. Well, it's like an SAT, but a military style. Your score will base you on what you're qualified to do in the branch of service that you're joining, and contingent on if that spot is even open, because your boot camp time may not match up with the availability school time. So it becomes slimmer pickings. You know, you don't always get exactly what you want. The Marines at the time try to guarantee something close, which attracted me to them. But what are they going to be doing, man? Freaking janitor services, cooks. I don't know.
Well, I mean, maybe,
and I don't need to take that away from janitors or cooks, but you know, it's not a, you know, at least on the janitor side of things, it doesn't take a lot of brain power to clean something.
Well, maybe we're not hearing all of the actual ins and outs.
Of course not. This is
so just maybe they are hurting for average, you know, Joe help.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they are in the need of, you know, like you say, guys that just, you know, sweep up or clean up or take the trash out. Maybe there's enough people that are doing the job, but
are they going to be like the British military back in the day? They paid their sailors with rum. I mean, is that going to be the new cash payment instead? That'd be attraction. Hey, look, you can drink while you're working. Cause back in those, you know, cannonball battleship days, they were always drunk.
Well, you'd have to convert it to today's standards. You'd have to offer weed.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
216 barrels of rum.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just, it makes me sad because the world is going to hell in a handbasket. And the last thing you need is a bunch of unqualified people who wouldn't even meet the standards of getting. And then how does that work when they get in? I mean, what if they're low IQ? What if they start fights for no reason at all? And then that becomes a problem for the MPs and the command.
What kind of boot camp do they put them through?
It's supposed to be the same boot camp. I don't know anything about Navy boot camp. I know it's in Great Lakes, Michigan. As far as I know, there's not a different boot camp for a different potential sailor, just like the Marines, like the female boot, even though female boot camp is somewhat separated, they're starting to integrate a little bit. 99% of the training is exactly the same. So it's, you know, the only thing that makes female boot camp a little different is their uniform standards and how they have to conduct themselves as a WM, because believe it or not, they learn about sexual harassment training before us, because they're the ones that are going to be getting hit on all the time. Like the girls have their pick of the litter on the base. The female Marines, I mean, it's a 99% sausage party. That's why. So they get extra classes of, okay, you're in a male masculine environment here. You're a Marine too. So don't let anyone talk you down just because you're a female. And they tough them up a little bit. So their training is slightly different, but all the physical training, the rifle quals, all that stuff, swimming. Yeah. They got to do all the same things.
I think the military, any branch, any police force, any type of security firm should have its guidelines and they should stick to it. And they shouldn't bend the rules because they're looking high and low and can't find people.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a problem with the culture. Obviously, there's a problem with our, you know, our people, maybe our education system, maybe parenting is off the chain. Who knows what's going on? But obviously, we are at that point in the world or our life where we do not have qualified. I mean, it's already happening in private sector for businesses.
Oh, look, God.
Look, McDonald's, Walmart can't find people. The white trash K can't find
people. And their $15 an hour is already being told it ain't good enough. Well, no kidding, because look at the way inflation has jumped up. And it's like, when do you cut it off? When do you stop? You know, and that's the thing. These people with their great ideas don't think five steps ahead of the consequences that'll come out of this, because right now it feels good. You know, look at us. I can see that as a Navy recruitment video. You know, look at us. We'll take you even if you didn't graduate high school. Ooh, boy, those are some standards right there. You know,
well, they say most of the time people that don't finish something are not going to have good self-esteem, no self-confidence.
Self-discipline,
self-control. Those are all things that you need to have.
I mean, you know how many times I've heard from somebody who didn't join the military and they said, I could never have a drill instructor yelling in my face like that. And I just started laughing because that already tells me that's a good thing you didn't go in, because you have to take it. If you want to be, I only can speak for the Marines because I'm a Marine. I could tell if you want it bad enough, you take it. And having a 25, 26-year-old drill instructor spitting in your face, making your ear go ringing, that's completely within their rights and parameters to do that as a drill instructor recruit. So when I hear people, I wouldn't put up with that. I'd punch them in the face. Like, good luck.
Well, maybe they never had their mom and dad yell at them.
Well, they never had their ass whooped either.
They never had their, you know, maybe they had a paddling or that's the problem. We've gotten so soft in this nation that we can't even get, you know, young men that come out of high school that say, yeah, I'm not going to go to college. I'm not going to go to vocational school yet, but I want to go and serve my country.
Yeah.
And that's how what it should be. Maybe we need to go to the times.
But they're getting soft on the standards by letting these people who would never qualify before in. I mean, the hope for me is that it would straighten a person up,
yes.
You know, however, I don't know enough of those cases. I only had one worker who was one of those, either you go in the Marines or you go to jail. And he turned out to be a POS. He is even as a Marine, and he got himself into a lot of trouble as a Marine. And I heard through the grapevine that he got out other than honorable conditions because he did things that got him in enough trouble. So like, here was your second chance and you still found a way to screw it up, because look at it this way. By the time you're 18 years old, you're about 90% of the person that you are at that point in your life. Yeah, you're supposed to grow and learn things and everything, and that's part of life. But as far as your personality, you're pretty much who you are by that age. Just because you go through boot camp isn't going to change you.
No, I mean, I would hope it makes you a better person and that's, well-rounded individual.
Of course, of course. Tech, pop culture, and news clips. So I got a few to run by you here, and Pirate's got a few as well. We can either switch off every other one, or I can go through my list. You go through your list. What do you want to do, Pirate?
Well, you do one, I do one.
All right, here we go. So I'll just pass on to you when I'm done with here, and I need you to opine as always. So Alaskan Airlines CEO says loose bolts found on many Boeing planes after the near disaster. So this is the follow-up story of the door getting sucked off the plane mid-flight, and he's pretty pissed at Boeing right now because supposedly they went through the inspection of all these planes and still found them flight worthy. But as a passenger, I would still be hesitant to get on a 737 MAX. And just this past a few days ago, a Delta Boeing 757 lost its front tire during takeoff, had to abort takeoff. So they never got up in the air, thank God. And because another pilot happened to notice the wheel falling off while taxiing down. And I guess there was no sensors in the cockpit about a wheel falling off. They never got any. I don't know if there is that such a thing. I would have hoped there was, but apparently not, because the pilot who noticed the wheel came off jumped on the radio and said, "Abort, abort, abort," because your wheel just popped off. And that particular Boeing 757 is like 39 years old, but it's been the workhorse of Delta for years because it's still a popular aircraft, even though out of production. So that's just crazy to hear that these stories are continuing on. What you got, Pirate?
Well, I've got the South Korea government is warning people against eating fried toothpicks.
What? Okay.
And this has become...
I didn't know you ate toothpicks.
Well, recently people have started to discover these deep fried toothpicks topped with seasoning such as powdered cheese and other types of flavorings. And what they're trying to do is get the minerals and nutrients out of it, such as starch. Mm-hmm. The toothpicks are made from sweet potato or cornstarch, and they got like a green color, and they're used in restaurants all over South Korea.
Gotcha.
And they're telling people that it's untrue. You're not going to get anything out of these things, and it's actually dangerous to eat these type of toothpicks.
Well, yeah. Plus a splinter in your poop.
Yeah, I mean, or a splinter in
your... You're going to rip your colon wall.
Or your butthole.
That's what a colon is, man.
And they also, the South Korea parliament also announced that they're issuing a health warning because they passed a bill earlier this month, but people keep doing this.
I mean, what sad times we're living in where a government has to tell people to stop eating toothpicks.
Yeah, and then, so another bill was passed. That the breeding and slaughter of dog meat for consumption due to animal welfare concerns.
Oh, gosh.
And they're trying to bring an end to this, but people keep doing it.
Yeah, well, that's the joke of the Koreans. They like to eat dogs.
Yeah, so they say that the law will be big time in effect in 2027.
Wow.
So if you want to get your dog on, travel over to South Korea, get over there before 2027, and you get your dog on.
Wow.
Okay.
All right. So I got another one here. Well, I won't keep saying that. That'll get annoying. We'll just pass it back and forth here. Right. Developer pitches plan for the tallest building in the U.S. and the most unlikely of cities. So Oklahoma City might look to build a skyscraper, which will become the biggest one in the United States. Right now, the current record has been held by the New World or the Freedom Tower or the One World Trade Center in New York City after the 9/11 disaster. And that actually stands at 1,776 feet. I thought it was cool that they picked 1776 to make the height.
Sure.
Well, this new one is going to tower it up to 1,907 feet. They said if the request is granted, it would be the largest skyscraper in the U.S. and the fifth tallest in the world. And here's a rendering. Of course, you guys at home cannot see this, but that's what it might look like there, Pirate. And Oklahoma City, of all places, to be putting up a skyscraper. I would never imagined a metropolitan like that in the middle of America.
Yeah, it looks like a Big Ben sitting out of the middle of nowhere.
Looks like a big penis.
That too.
Yeah. Back to you, buddy.
So last week we reported about Pawn Star, Rick Harrison's son. He was Adam. He died at age 39 last week. So they recently released the information. A representative of Harrison said that he passed from an overdose.
Oh, well, didn't the dad play blame fentanyl or something?
Exactly what it was.
Yeah. And I think he also slammed it because it came across the border.
That too.
Most likely.
I mean, there is fentanyl available here, but I'm sure it has overseas origins.
Yeah.
So yeah, that this is a result of an overdose. The parents are asking for privacy at this time, and it's a sad moment there.
Yeah.
Back to you, Chewy.
The Macintosh Pirate. I guess we could have done this. Well, it's not today, actually, but close enough. The Macintosh computer is 40 years old.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, the brainchild of Steve Jobs. And then, of course, Wozniak was the engineer on the project. And this was basically Apple's second run at a home personal computer, because at the time the Apple II was hitting the waves. The schools had them, like people loved the Apple II. Well, Steve Jobs wanted to introduce something different. So he was part of the team that created the Macintosh, and it had one of the first GUIs, the graphic user interface, and came with a mouse, so you wouldn't have to type everything. So it allowed you to move Windows around and everything. And even though Apple did not invent Windows, Windows actually came from Xerox, of all places. They either got permission, or, you know, maybe through some patent laws said, you know, you can use this as long as you give them a kickback for so many years, whatever. But yeah, the Macintosh came out 40 years ago. And this show, by the way, folks that listen, is edited on a Macintosh. Now, we have a dedicated mixing board for the show, but when I pull the SD card out and I take the file to the Mac, I do all the editing with a lot of the music and the sound effects and everything on the Macintosh. So happy birthday to the Mac.
Happy birthday. Here we go. The 1995 movie Braveheart.
Oh, great movie.
With Mel Gibson, right? Mm-hmm. Oscar-winning movie here.
Yes.
Home Depot, or Home Cheapo, is going to start retailing the authentic William Wallace sword.
That big broadsword.
That gigantic sword.
So you can go to Home Depot and buy a sword.
Yep, yep, you can get it. And it's exactly. Okay. It is a decorative sword of some sort. And they also sell throwing axes and shields and medieval armor.
Wow.
So they're really getting into some bizarre stuff.
That's an interesting sell from Home Depot. That's a strange business model.
It doesn't make any sense to me, but I guess if they want to sell it, let them sell it, man.
All right.
Back to you, Chewy.
Bud Light tries to salvage brand new with Super Bowl ad campaign, brand with Super Bowl ad campaign. Bud Light is using an expensive Super Bowl ad campaign to resurrect its image and win beer drinkers back. The brand hopes customers will forget its affair with the transgender TikToker Dylan Mulvaney. The details: Bud Light parents company Anheuser-Busch is forking out big bucks for a 60-second ad that will reportedly introduce a brand new character. And according to Kyle Norrington, AB's chief commercial officer, you can expect some really funny advertising. I actually welcome this, Pirate, because, you know, you're a Budweiser fan, so am I. When you thought about Budweiser in the late 80s through the 90s and part of the 2000s, one of the best things about that beer company was the commercials and the characters. And they were legendary, all of them. The Bud Bowl, Spuds McKenzie, the Frogs, the Otters or something. They didn't. What about you? Dude, I love what? Dude, I love the What's Up Guys, man. That was great. It was brilliant marketing. They all know, everybody knows they screwed the pooch with Dylan Mulvaney, and hopefully they move on in their own respected manners. I actually welcome this. I would like to see a good Budweiser commercial again. I know the article here said bring in new characters. Why not just bring back Spud McKenzie? He was the first Bud Light mascot. Why not bring something that worked, you know? But either way, I welcome something new, a new commercial or whatever. Over to you.
You remember the Double Deuce bar?
No. Is that a candy bar?
No, the Double Deuce Saloon, like the bar.
No.
You remember James Dalton?
Yeah, I know that cowboy name.
Yeah, well, James Dalton was the bouncer at the Double Deuce Roadhouse Saloon.
Oh, yeah?
South of the Mason-Dixon. They're making a reboot movie.
Mm.
And this is starting to stir up a little bit of, pissed off fans, the original Roadhouse and Patrick Swayze fans.
Yes. Yep.
They're starting to get a little pissed off because the new reboot stars Jake
Gyllenhaal. Yep. Well, I will show you the trailer after this, Pirate. I watched it yesterday with hesitancy because I do love the real original Roadhouse, and rest in peace to Patrick Swayze.
Yes. He was great.
This movie actually looks pretty good, man.
Well, people are slamming it, and you know how people are. They're quick to jump before they
see it. Yeah, and your cousin's in it, Conor McGregor.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, UFC MMA guy.
Do you think he'll show some people an Irish knuckle sandwich?
You're going to see this trailer. It's pretty kick-ass.
So this movie is a reimagining of the 80s cult classic. If you're an alpha male, you know this movie by heart.
Absolutely. How about Sam Elliott, dude?
Sam Elliott, man, he's badass.
Yeah.
So is Patrick Swayze. I mean, the whole movie is just from start to end is badass. And, so this guy, Elwood Dalton, he's a former UFC fighter in this movie, takes a job as a bouncer in the Florida Keys Roadhouse. And then all of a sudden he starts to discover that the paradise is not what it seems.
Yeah. You remember the Patrick Swayze line, though? Be nice.
Be nice.
Until it's time to not be nice.
That's right. So, yeah, you know, it's definitely going to be something I want to see. I want to see your little trailer.
Yeah, we'll watch that after the show here. And then we got another thing of six classes to watch.
And here there were a lot of people that had excitement. The fans were excited, and then there was a lot of people that were, you know, don't mess with Patrick, you know, and people were pissed off. But I don't see what the big deal is. Let's make one remake of it, and if they screw it up.
Well, you know what? If a remake can honor the original movie and then also do its own thing and maybe possibly even be a little better, I don't have a problem with that. Because in a lot of ways, Top Gun Maverick was a sequel, but the fear was, okay, this movie came out over 35 years ago. Top Gun is a legendary Americana movie, kick-ass movie. I love Top Gun. I was a little hesitant to see it because I thought, how can they make this even better as a sequel? Crazy enough, Pirate, I think Maverick is slightly better, in my opinion, than the original movie, and that says a lot. So I'm confident with this Roadhouse movie. I think they can do it right.
Yeah, I agree with you. I want to see this. I'm not gonna, you know,
judge a book before its cover, right?
Until I see it. I mean, the original one, of course, had Sam Elliott and Kelly Lynch and Ben Gazzara. But of course, you said we got Conor McGregor and this Gyllenhaal feller, and there's a couple other folks in here. I just don't know who they are. But anyways, you know, let's try it out, man. I need some new movies in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
Back to you, Chewy.
Plane forced to turn around after passenger found to be farting during flight.
What the hell?
Well, let's tell you about it. But one flight apparently ended up heading back to the terminal before takeoff due to high winds, though maybe not what you're thinking. This author is pretty funny here. American Airlines flight had been taxiing for takeoff from Phoenix to Austin when one passenger noted that an individual appeared audibly disgruntled about something, suggesting he might be hungover or having a rough day. Everyone got into their seats, hopefully not involving a dispute over reserve seats. What is this? A crossover episode. But as the plane was preparing to take off, one passenger claimed they overheard the man getting into an argument with another passenger. This culminated with the usual comeback. You thought that was rude? Well, how about this smell? And apparently he let one rip during the argument. So the guy was already arguing about him farting on the plane, and he let another one around. So they turned around the plane to kick this guy off the plane, didn't say any arrests or anything like that, but there it was definitely a dispute going on in the cabin.
I'll be damned, man. That's out of control, dude, on a plane.
Yeah. All right. Over to you.
Well, I am pretty much had one thing.
Don't you have one on the Mexican military?
No, we're not going to talk about that at this point. I got one thing we got to talk about.
Okay.
My experience with the drone.
Oh, so yeah, since this is a tech news section.
I'm still in the tech.
Yes.
So a couple days back, I was over here in the local Sefner area, out in the public area.
Mm-hmm.
And I was within a reasonable click of a Lowe's or a Walmart. And all of a sudden, I see in the sky a fast-moving object.
Yeah.
And I see four little propellers.
Yeah, you were on the phone with me.
Yeah, and I seen a drone carrying a box, a large box.
Mm-hmm.
And I was blown away, man. That thing had to have been going at least 40 miles an hour, cruised at maybe, I don't know, 200 feet in the air.
Yeah, yeah. I told you right away, it's a delivery drone.
And he went up the road, a little north of me. I could still hear him for a little bit. didn't hear him after a while. And then he came back with an empty payload and
and
went back to his home base.
It's going to start being more common.
Yeah, it's incredible that
you're going to pay for it, though. If you need something delivered to your SFA, there's going to be a premium fee.
But that's just amazing that we've come to that point.
It is pretty cool.
I mean, that little remote control, little, let's say, toy airplane flew a package from a store, didn't drop it on anybody's roof, didn't crash.
Autonomous, too. A pilot doesn't even fly it. It's all punched in coordinates from the home base.
Oh, see, I thought a guy was sitting there with remote control.
Nope.
See that?
Nope.
Boys and girls at home.
Nope. This all is automated.
This is incredible.
Once they load the package up on the drone, they punch in the coordinates, basically the address, and the computer software takes over from there, and it's autonomous from that point.
See that, boys and girls? You can sit at home and order your ramen noodles from Walmart and get them delivered to your house.
That day. Within 2 hours.
Yeah, well, you don't even need to get out of your house. You could sit there, keep playing Xbox, and be in your boxer.
But doesn't that just make people a little more lazy, though, too? We have some individuals that we know that used to do the DoorDash thing all the time, but then would turn around and tell you that they're broke. It's like, well, what'd you expect? You can't even get up in your car to go get food to bring back to your house. And so you're willing to pay for it? You're willing to pay for it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Although it would be nice, like if me and you said right now, let's order a Domino's pizza and see if we can get it delivered into the backyard. Would that be something? A drone comes down your backyard?
They deliver it where they find an open spot. They prefer the front yard, though.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. That'd be badass. Well, that's all I got for my tech
I got one more in here, and then we'll move on to your other story here.
Okay.
This is another recap from an old story. We talked about the McDonald's spinoff Cosmix. Well, they opened up their first store and they saw twice as many visitors as a regular restaurant in the first month. So the first Cosmix opened last month outside of Chicago. The drive-through only concept appears to be a smash hit. So they don't even have a lobby. I didn't know that when we talked about it last time. New recent data show that the small format beverage-led establishment saw more than double the number of visitors than a typical McDonald's location chain in compared to in December 2023. So it's worth noting that Cosmix visitation numbers would likely have been much higher if the location had additional capacity to satisfy the overwhelming demand. So Cosmix pilot restaurant, which is located in Bolingbrook, Illinois, the restaurant was so popular during its opening week, local police were enlisted to direct traffic around the building. Wow. At roughly 2,500 square foot, Cosmix is much smaller than a typical McDonald's store, which on the average ranges between 4,000 and 4,500 square feet. However, the smaller floor plan makes sense for Cosmix's business model, serving beverages and small snacks rather than meals like a traditional McDonald's. Okay, so they do have a lobby. I thought that'd be weird if they didn't. Main features of the signature Galactic Boosts are caffeinated fruity drinks, iced teas, lemonade, slushies, and blah, blah, blah. Some of the food options is that they have a tomatillo sandwich, filled donuts called McPops, savory hash brown bites, ooh, that's good, and pretzel bites, along with a couple other breakfast sandwiches like an egg McMuffin, sausage McMuffin, or anything like that. So hey, sounds good. Good for them that this is taking off, huh?
So they're selling more coffee at the McDonald's than they're selling damn Big Macs.
Yeah, but you can get yourself a double Big Mac at McDonald's. That's the big promo right now. A double Big Mac, so four patties in a sandwich.
Sounds good to me.
That sounds good to me. That'd be filling, but that ain't happening right now.
No, you'd only be able to just take the burgers. That's it.
I can do that part. Just take all the buns out and have the burgers.
The burgers and lettuce is all you would get.
I have none. No, I can do the pickle. I can do the onion. I can even have the Big Mac sauce.
So you would just have a pile of this goop.
Yep.
And just pick it up and eat it.
I've done it before. No, I've done it before, Pirate. I have literally ordered one time. I ordered four Big Macs, took it all apart, put it on my plate, and with a knife and fork eating into it. It was still good, but I had to pay for four Big Macs to feel satisfied because all that bun was not filling my tummy. So
who says tummy?
Hey, anytime I have a thing, opportunity, I do it now, man.
Who says tummy?
That was not even planned. As I was talking, I knew I was going to throw in tummy.
I want to know who says tummy, Dan.
I say tummy.
Beware of the dark side.
Florida Man News, everybody. Yeah, the segment you have been waiting for, listeners, boys and girls of all ages, the Florida Man, the most famous person in the universe, just about.
I always get anxiety during this segment.
Well, I got great news for you.
Okay.
They are now announcing that the Florida Man Games, the first ever Florida Man Games, and they're going to be held in February at St. Augustine.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what do they do at the Florida Man Games?
Well, spectators can come, and you can also, as a spectator, you can actually participate in these, by the way. Some of these as an individual or against your friends and family.
Okay.
Tickets range from $45 to $175. The first, and they do have team events, and they do have some wild teams, by the way. I watched some of the YouTube videos of these guys. Some of these guys are Florida Mans.
Have to look up all these events.
Weaponized pool noodle mud duel.
Okay. So it sounds like a bunch of hillbilly games.
Listen to this, man. Evading arrest obstacle course. You'll be jumping over fences, through backyards, and away from an actual police officer to earn your freedom. And by the way, the police officer carries a plastic a baseball bat.
Okay. So they can beat you with it.
Yeah, they have a Category 5 cash grab. So you subject yourself to the hurricane winds. Mm-hmm. You get yourself inside this, like, telephone booth type structure, and they put all this cash in there and turn it up probably a million miles an hour wind, and you try to grab all these $100 bills.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you grab, you keep.
Yeah.
They have a Cadillac converter, two bikes, and a handful of copper pipes. It's a race against time.
Hmm.
So,
are they going to televise this?
I'm guessing it might be on. I haven't done a lot of television research. I know that
I'd like to watch it, is why I'm asking.
Florida Grown is sponsoring it.
Okay, yeah, the T-shirt company.
Yeah. They also have refs that were former American Gladiators. Dan Nitro Clark and Laurie Ice Patrick are going to be there.
Yeah, there's that documentary on Netflix I want to watch about the American Gladiators, the behind-the-scenes stuff.
So this is kind of like it. You get to meet those two as well.
Nice.
As for entertainment, they have the mullet contest. You got that right. And then they got the Florida Man pinup contest. So there'd be women in bikinis and looking like a Florida man.
Well, and that used to be a big thing back in the day on Florida beaches, was bikini contests. I haven't heard about any of them lately.
Well, you're going to see one at this one.
So it's nice they're bringing that back. That was like a Florida classic, like Cocoa Beach and all these famous beaches. Man. They'd have girls up there in bikinis. And guess what? Even way back in the late 80s and early 90s, a lot of these girls were bold enough to wear the thongs, the fundoshi back then. And they looked good, man.
I hope they wear it.
I came across a guy on YouTube who uploads his old bikini contest photos. He was a videographer. And it's like, you could tell it's grainy and old from the VHS quality. But I tell you what, them girls still look good, even 30 years ago. And I start thinking, I'm like, man, some of these girls are like in their late 50s, early 60s now. I wonder what they look like now.
I don't even ask.
You never know, man. Some girls take care of themselves.
Well, they're also going to have chicken coop bingo.
Okay.
Chickens will be on like a big bingo card, and then they're inside a coop, and then you put your number, and you know.
Probably depends on where the chickens go. It'll flip a number or a letter, you know, I-72 or something, you know.
Yes. And then the 911 fight night is going to be where firefighters and police and first responders get to brawl it out.
There's always a tension amongst the departments there.
Yeah, so there is a possibility that Pirate, yours truly, might be attending these Florida Man Games.
Oh, nice. Good. You know, something to report on.
Yeah, I'm thinking about going to check it out and report on it first. And my favorite T-shirt manufacturer,
Flow Grown
is sponsoring it. And you know, they'll be there, and they're going to have a lot of other things there. They're going to have some music and other things there. So it's going to be a fun-filled event.
Yeah.
So on to the news, ladies and gentlemen. First up, got a local story here. Florida man arrested for DUI after going wrong way on I-4.
Oops. What, do you think he was in England?
I guess so, mate.
Hey, drive on the left side. No, we drive on the right side.
A Florida man was arrested for driving under the influence after going the wrong way in Dover.
Aw.
Early Sunday morning at 1:29 a.m.
I hope he didn't hurt anybody.
Yeah. Well, what do you think he was doing at 1:29 a.m.?
He's going to Waffle House.
Exactly. So the FHP responded to a call that a wrong-way driver was going on I-4, and they linked up with him around County Line Road, and he was going the wrong way on the westbound lanes or eastbound lanes, driving westbound lanes, but he was going east.
Right.
So he was in a red Honda Accord. He traveled for many miles, they say, before the trooper can actually catch up to him. And the trooper had to perform a pit maneuver to end the pursuit.
Think how dangerous it was for the highway patrolman to be following this guy on the wrong side of the road as well. That's scary, man. That's super dangerous.
They said it was. There was other stuff in this article that said it was pretty dangerous. Craig Hillenberg of Lando Lakes was placed under arrest at 1:45 a.m.
Yeah. Yep.
Good job. Good.
See ya.
So, Florida man buys $50 scratch-off at corner store and wins $1
million. Nice.
Yep.
Good for him.
Florida man is now a millionaire after he bought his winning ticket at the Kevin's Corner Store in Sanford, Florida.
Hmm.
Antonio Redden, 56, of Sanford, purchased the $1 million a year for life spectacular ticket. Redden chose to receive the lump payment of $640,000 after taxes.
Okay, I can live with that.
Sure you can. In the store, they even lucked out too. They got $2,000 for selling the winning ticket.
Ah, cool. Good for him, man. I like to hear good stories like that.
All right, here's a pretty good story. Florida man stabs victim after woman refuses to get out of his car. Get in his car. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Get in his car.
No. I was like, no, get out. If not, I'll stab you. No, you won't. Ah, no.
Florida man stabs victim after woman refuses to get in his car. I'm sorry.
Hey, baby, you want to go for a ride?
Yeah.
No.
You want some candy?
I'm going to cut you.
So here's how it all went down. The 56-year-old man, he stabbed this man after trying to get a woman into his car, of course. This happened in Flagler County near Palm Coast. Eric Galdabini, that must be an Italian name, Eric Galdabini,
mm-hmm,
drove past this woman walking a few yards behind another man in a Florida neighborhood on Thursday morning. Galdabini drove past the woman and asked her to get into his car several times, and she refused his request. During the final attempt to ask the woman to get into his car, both the man and woman walking asked Galdabini, "Hey, leave me alone." That's when he put the car in park. He jumped out and sprinted toward the man and woman with closed fists.
Mm.
The two men got into an altercation, and that's when Galdabini decided it was a great idea to pull out a knife.
Ooh, jeez.
He slashed the man multiple times. Galdabini got into his car and fled the scene.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so he was, Galdabini was apprehended later that day.
Good.
And they had to perform another high-risk traffic stop because he was, you know, going high speed.
Yeah.
Galdabini was charged with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. He is in the Volusia County Detention Center with a $40,000 bond, boys and girls.
See you later, Galdabini.
And I want to say that is the Florida Man News. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you very much. So the Mexican military is starting to visit popular American tourist spots here in Mexico. There's
they want a vacation?
Yeah, they want to, you know, take it easy for a little bit, you know, kick back and have a couple margaritas there.
Yeah.
Actually, no. What's happening is there is a lot of crime going on, go figure, in Mexico.
No.
Yeah, and they're trying to, authorities are asking them, that we need you guys to create a safer and calmer environment in the tourist areas where Americans are bringing in revenue for us.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they've brought in these army and 30 members of the Mexican Navy were also enforced here.
They're trying to protect the tourists.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they've got a total of 250 current active military members in the town of Tulum, Mexico.
Yes. Yeah, I've been there.
Oh, you have?
I've been to Tulum.
Pretty spot. I mean, look at the picture.
Oh, the beach is beautiful there.
And yeah, I mean, it looks great. I think it's terrible they have crime in a place like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably because they just don't have police, and the cartels are probably starting to, you know, do their business.
So the cartels are going, not starting to do business, but probably trying to go on little hit and runs on tourists.
Yeah. There was a Mexican tourist that he was shot and killed in Tulum in April at a resort. And then, this happened because he had an expensive watch, and robbers wanted to get the watch, and he was shot.
Mm.
So, you know, the beach resorts of Cancun, Playa del Carmen, and Tulum have been plagued with drug gang violence. So there's been a lot of drug trafficking gangs and weapon trafficking gangs hanging out in these areas recently. And I guess Tulum is a big hot spot for it.
It is.
There's been a lot of European, not just Americans, European, Indian people and Canadians hurt or injured or killed in the past 2 years, 2022 and 2023. And, you know, this has got the attention of this Mexican military.
That's a shame. I spent about just a half a day there, 5 or 6 hours. And the people of Tulum were really nice. And the best fish tacos I've ever had in my life were in Tulum, Mexico. Nothing so far will beat it. I wish I remember the name of the cafe, but doesn't sound like it's a good place to go right now anyways.
No, and then I've got a linking story here. This is in the state of Guerrero, southwestern area of Mexico. The Hualtempa, it's a little city village in southwestern Guerrero. They have an overwhelming amount of kidnappings going on in the Guerrero state.
Wow.
And they're saying that it's affecting a lot of the children in the area, that they can't focus because there's a lot of a state of lawlessness.
Mm-hmm.
And kids are worried. And so recently, the local police has recruited these Mexican children to help be a volunteer police force and combat organized crime.
Jeez.
Children as young as 12 years old.
Oh my gosh.
Are toting and wielding rifles in the streets of Hualtempa.
And that is third world shit, man.
Dude, it's out of control. And so, you know, they're saying that in January they had an alleged cartel drone attack. The cartels have drones now.
It's not that hard to put a bomb on a drone these days, unfortunately.
Yeah, and this is what's happening. And then they're saying that there's a lot of kidnapping, that this village is very small. They have a volunteer police force, and they need more people. So they're recruiting these children, and they're surging crime. They're trying to get, as well as what the Mexican military was saying, they want a safer and calmer environment.
Well, and their big revenue is tourism. And if you make an unsafe environment, the tourists are going to stop going. They just simply won't get off the boat, or they'll get off the boat and they'll hang right there in the immediate dock resort. And that's it, man. So,
man, I'm telling you, they're going to really screw up, you know, that Mexico by not putting their foot down. They're letting people cross the border like crazy. People are coming into their country, no questions asked.
Yeah.
There is a lot of shenanigans going on, and Americans are just going to say, you know, I don't need to go there anymore.
Yeah. Well, it's a mess, but we'll always end the show on a light note with the song of the week that we always like, something uplifting, something fun. But yeah. Good show, Pirate. I think that'll conclude us with show number 19 here. And give you all the stuff again. If you're a new listener, you already know the website, if you're listening, obviously, but let the word out, AkebonaRadio.com. Send us an email at AkebonaRadio@gmail.com. We are on X. We are on Facebook, all over the road with Pirate and Chewbacca. But the song of the week is John Mellencamp, and it's called You Got to Stand for Something, and it comes from his 1985 record, Scarecrow. So
it's a badass album.
So we'll part our ways here, and we thank you for downloading and listening to the show. You got anything else you want to send off before we go, Pirate?
I want everybody to enjoy life, live it to the greatest potential that you are, give us a hit, email, thumbs up, whatever it takes. We want to hear from you.
Or even a thumbs down if you say we suck.
If they have
we want to hear it.
We want to know everything. Just get a hold of Pirate and Chewy. We're all over the road. Thanks for listening.
Or you're gonna fall.